All right. So welcome, everyone. I will say that a couple of times because we are expecting some more people to join the call that are not here yet. And I'm just going to continue to invite everyone to breathe and to relax. And you can start by feeling your toes. Just be aware of your toes and your feet. And know that you are connected to Mother Earth. And I'm going to invite you to take everything else that you've been doing before the call and you'll be doing after the call and just put it aside and let yourself just relax and rejuvenate and be here just for you right now. We call in the beings and the energies of the North to join with us, the energies of the mind and clarity, to be with us as we create this circle that goes beyond the rooms that each of us are in and connects us with all that is. And we invite the spirit keepers and the energies of the East to join with us now and bring that fire energy, that energy of light and illumination of the new day, to join with us in this circle as we create it now. I invite the spirit keepers of the South, come and join with us now as we create this circle of light. Bring the innocence and the water energy and join with us. We thank you. And I invite the spirit keepers of the West, the place of death and rebirth, of letting go, the earth energies, come and join with us now as we create the circle of light and we step into it. And I invite the spirit keepers of the void, the center, the non-physical, to join with us, bringing wisdom, a higher perspective, and the light. So continuing to breathe and center, bringing yourself to that place of oneness with yourself, with your higher self, with the teachers and helpers that join with you. And we invite the energies of Mother Earth and that support to be very clear to us. So feel your feet, your body, attached to whatever you're sitting or lying on, and then feel the foundation of the building connecting into the earth. And feel that solidity, that warmth, that nurturing of the earth. As empaths, we spend a lot of time in our upper chakras. We spend a lot of time connecting to the higher realms. And our antennae tend to work from our higher chakras. And what we want to do to bring more balance is to get into the whole body and to stay connected to the earth. The earth is like the ground for that antenna. And any time that you're feeling that kind of energy, when you're picking up a lot of electromagnetic frequencies around you, you can connect with your grounding cord, or however you imagine it, deep down into the earth. It's very much like a lightning rod. You know how the lightning rod will ground that really intense energy into the earth so that it doesn't create any havoc. And then that energy then can be used by your body in harmonious ways, in ways that are effective and helpful for you. So I want to welcome everyone, and for anyone who has just gotten on the call, the only people that can be heard right now are me. I am Elena, and Robin.
Hello there.
And we are going to be talking for a bit, and then we will tell you what we're doing. We'll change the phone system so that we can hear you. a little bit further down the road. So thank you for joining us today. We're very excited to do this. It's a kind of a new combination of the different skills and technologies and things that Robin and I are using. So we are excited to be branching out today with all of you. Thank you for playing with us. So we thought we'd start by telling a little bit about our paths as empaths, how we got to this point that we're offering workshops and teaching people what we've discovered. And I think for me, it's been going on for so long, I can't go back and go, there was this magic day where I suddenly realized I was empathic or I was intuitive or I was sensitive. And when I was a very little girl, I had these, quote, imaginary friends. And some of you heard me tell some of these stories before. But anyway, the imaginary friends and I always would have conversations. I also knew when I was a very little girl things about other people, and I could feel situations. Partly, I developed those skills because my environment that I grew up in was not real safe all the time. So I learned to use my antenna in ways that would kind of alert me. Oh, danger. Danger in that room. Danger coming down the pike. Danger over here. So in some ways, I got very hypervigilant. And it served me at that time. And as I've grown up and gotten older and wiser, I have tried to bring that in balance, because still sometimes I will find myself being hypervigilant in situations where I really could relax, where it's really safe. And that's a really big part of what Robin and I have been putting our heads together around, helping people to understand and to learn to use both their gifts and this sort of early warning system, or whatever you want to call that, and to find a way to integrate it so that we are more whole beings and we can call it at will. So I have a story I always like to tell. When I lived in Hawaii, I lived on the really mellow side of the island, the windward side of Oahu. And there was this highway called the Pali Highway that we would go up and over to go over to Honolulu. And there was a visceral difference you could feel when you went over the top of that pass down into Honolulu. It was like popping into this bubble of really intense energy. So we had this game that we would play in the car. And on the way into Honolulu, as we went over the top of the Pali Highway and down the other side, just as we made that crest, we would say, "Shields up." And then as we came home, when we got to that point, we would say, "Shields down." And I have continued to use that when I'm conscious, when I'm aware, to keep myself from getting overwhelmed in situations where I don't need to be aware of everything going on around me. I think maybe you could liken the empath or sensitive or intuitive receiving system as just this unfiltered receiving system. And we have to learn to put those filters in there so that we're receiving what we want, and that we can actually turn them off so we can relax, so that we can be who we want to be. Another story that I really love is, I've been traveling in the sort of metaphysical world for many, many years, and one of my least favorite things to run into is somebody who, I'm at a metaphysical bookstore or somebody, and I'm not talking about the person that's working there. It's just somebody who happens in, and they're browsing, and they come up to me and go, "You're really blah, 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 blah." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, I didn't ask you. And why are you giving me this information?" It always kind of takes me aback. And so that's another sort of treachery we can get into as intuitives, is not knowing when to keep our mouths shut and when to open them and share what we're getting. So I'm going to turn this over to Robin so she can tell a little bit of her story.
Well, I love that part that you ended on, because I think that is such a huge, huge piece of our responsibility as empaths, as intuitives, as psychics. I just think it's a very, very, very important piece of information, is that, have permission, to not go into, because we have this ability to step into somebody else's space. It's not always without invitation. But I just couldn't help.
Thank you.
My journey has been, it's an interesting one, because without having the name for empathy, and this is something I've experienced my whole life, but as a child, you know, I didn't have the words of what it was. In fact, I thought everybody else at first, I didn't understand why they didn't get what I got. You know, that I made assumptions that everybody else was had the same information I had, and I was functioning from that, and it was rather painful to experience that they weren't. What I started at about 5 years old, I started getting, I recognized that I was getting information, I was getting visions. I would also receive not only from physical and non-physical, but also nature. So I really had, my relationship was, Elena talked about having her friends that she talked to. I had the trees. I was in the forest and was interacting with the energies of the trees as well. And coming also from a family that there was a lot of disharmony and feeling everybody else's emotions and feeling everybody else's what was going on with them, I took on the role as being the one to try to balance everything and trying to keep everybody happy and try to, you know, taking care of everybody else's feelings. Over the years, the experiences I had, I couldn't be in crowds because my poor mother, I would tell her I would get explosions in my head. And, you know, she was thinking, and she was going talking to the doctors, trying to figure out if I was having strokes, you know, she didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to explain it, but since I had zero filters at that time, I would just, it literally felt like energies were coming in from all directions and kind of colliding in the middle. And the only way as a child I knew how to explain that is feeling like I had explosions. And I started to, at that point, you know, you sort of figure out how to protect yourself. And part of my protecting myself was I would leave my body. And I left it pretty regularly. At school, I would leave it. And then it was kind of a little bit nutty because then I'd come back in and it was like, I don't know what was going on in the class at that time. And especially, like, I remember the one story that I remember clearly, that actually I had a clearer picture of it now as an adult, once I know, have more clarity about what being an empath or sensitive or an intuitive is. But at that time, I was at a carnival, and it was just too much. So I left my body. Now, the thing is that I had conversations with people. I didn't really remember the conversation until hours later. But, I mean, if you saw me, I was functioning. But what my memory is of the carnival is actually seeing it from above the Ferris wheel. So I was actually looking down at the whole, at the event. So these were sort of, as a child, this is what I did for survival. You know, as some things were healthy, some things not. But over the years of delving into meditation, becoming more and more aware about what was occurring and researching and having conversations with other like people with these experiences, and then going through, I went through a number of different trainings, that I developed ways of maintaining my frequency. And to be able to, I think one of the key things that I've learned over the years is really the more conscious I am, because it's not that I'm not affected, it's just the more I can sort of maintain my energy field, the more conscious I am of what's mine and what isn't. You know, when I didn't know it wasn't mine, I just thought I was crazy. I just, you know, one minute I'm feeling fine, the next minute I'm feeling depressed. And I'm like, okay, nothing happened between those 2 seconds. Why is that occurring? Or somebody walks in the room and I'm like, ooh, you know, feeling guarded. Or, you know, there was just, it was like this roller coaster of emotions. And so being able to ground myself in my emotions and being able to sort of push out, energetically push out what isn't mine, has been one of the amazing tools that's worked for me. It was a sort of a key point. It's interesting. I was thinking about this morning, and I remember during the 60s when everybody was doing a lot of drugs and all of this, and I remember I had been doing a lot of work to just be in my body and be present, to be in this moment. And I remember Hicks, you know, I did my little experiment like everybody else around me, and I'm like, I worked too hard. People, why would I do this? This is how I felt before, you know. I can do that naturally. It was the opposite that I realized that it was kind of an interesting thing. I'm just like, no, no, no. I don't want to go back there. So that's sort of been a very short overview of sort of my journey with this. But it's, like Lena explained, we've sort of been, through our experiences and the different skills over the years that we have developed and been trained as well as shared, and we've been asked by many people over the years for help. And so this is why we've decided to do this workshop at this time.
So I wanted to add a couple things that came to me while Robin was speaking. And it, for me, there was such an interesting time when I started to understand this whole realm. It's almost like as I was growing up, because there was nobody around me that really was anything but sort of a normal physical being, I never knew what to do with it. And I remember watching shows like I Dream of Jeannie and just being mesmerized because I wanted to, you know, I watched it recently, oh, well, that was really kind of goofy. But for me, it was the only thing that was happening, that and maybe Cinderella, you know, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, and we turn into something else. But those were sort of the realms that I was feeling drawn to, but I didn't know anything about them. And I didn't have a cultural, a context for them. So it was really challenging. And I also felt very many times like things that Robin was saying about being overwhelmed. But the other thing that really happened to me was, and I think it's the reason I went into psychology, is that people would say something and I would look at them and I would just know that that wasn't true. That like they might have thought so, but I knew that whatever they were, however they were representing themselves, wasn't what they were actually feeling, because I could feel what they were feeling. And I remember sometimes as a younger child feeling kind of cuckoo about that, just not getting it, just sort of deciding to keep my opinions to myself and wasn't going to say anything because nobody, it just didn't make any sense. There was no congruence between what people were saying and how they were feeling. And as I got older and I began to sort of understand that I was seeing an incongruent thing, that was just very strange for me. I was very lucky to have some people early on get a hold of me and start training me in counseling and in other things. Again, not really talking about this sixth sense or eighth sense or whatever number this one is, but just really to starting to understand that I had gifts and that I had an ability to sense what was going on with people that was beyond what most people had. So once I started to train my gifts, that really helped. But then fast forward, so that's, you know, around the time I was in late high school and college. And then later on, I noticed again that I was feeling really overwhelmed. And I started doing some bioenergetics and other kinds of body therapy work that helped me realize that I had a lot of stuff stored in my body. I had a lot of other people's stuff and my own trauma and drama from growing up in the environments that I did stored in my body. So I had to get rid of that stuff. And it's certainly an ongoing process for me. Most recently, I took an online course, which really helped me identify some other things that I didn't understand about being an empath or a sensitive. And there's this book, probably many of you have read it, called The Highly Sensitive Person by Elaine Aron. When I read that book, I was very excited because I started feeling more normal within my group of people, sensitives and intuitives. And oh, that's how come I feel that way. That's how come I have to hide out in my room with a novel and stay there all weekend. And she talks about that the dark often helps people get less overwhelmed. So I really made it my business over the last probably 10 or 15 years or 20 years to learn how to deal with my own system, to learn how to help other people sense into their system and figure out, you know, how to manage all of this, because we don't want to be in survival. Our gifts are really needed right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another thing that I've really discovered is that I'm not normal. I can't spend my time doing all those activities that other people do and still be functional, because I have a system that's really finely tuned and it needs different kinds of care, different kinds of activities, a lot more quiet, a lot more even exercise than a lot of people need. For me, exercise has become one of my really incredible grounding tools. I've learned that if I can get my body stronger and my muscles more dense, I don't seem to have to carry as much weight on my body to keep me in my body or to keep me having more filters. So I'm learning how to develop filters that are healthy, and I continue to learn. And I think as the planet changes, as we go through all the shifts and changes that we're going through, it's an ongoing process. The other thing that I want to mention is that when in my work with people who are sensitive, everybody is really different. There's a lot mm-hmm. of commonalities.
Absolutely.
But just because, you know, technique A or tool B works for me, it might not work for Robin, it might not work for you. Yeah. And things work for Robin and I compare notes all the time. We're sort of a sounding board for each other on this. It's like, oh,
yeah, we have very different tools. That
we do.
Use. Well, and some similar ones, but there are. And it's good to know that so that you, when you try something and it doesn't work for you, that doesn't mean you're not able. It just means there's something else.